Wait a minute, what's this?
What's the matter? Owen Hart, Slammy Award winner.
Woo! I did it again! And you know what?
No, you're presenting this. You gotta be thankful, man. Owen spent a whole year of his life promoting this crummy show.
I did it again!
Yes!
And I have nobody to thank. Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. 2-time Slammy Award winner! I knew it! I'm a winner! I did it! Woo! Hey, Bulldog, you may have 2 titles, but you don't have 2 Slammies!
Yeah!
And speaking of that, Vader and Mankind, this Sunday at WrestleMania, you're going to be in for the fight of your life because the Bulldog and myself, we haven't been better ever. And we're going to beat you and Mankind. And you know what, Vader? You don't have 2 Slammies like I do because you're losers and we're winners. Me and my Slammies!
Following is a presentation of the OHL Fanboys Podcast.
Lieski sont champions de la Coupe du Président. For the 4th time in their history, the Guelph Storm are Ontario Hockey League champions.
For the 2nd time in franchise history, the Prince Albert Raiders are Western Hockey League champions.
Live from the Donair Capital, it's the OHL Fanboys Meet the Halifax Herdcast at the 101st Memorial Cup in Halifax. Here are your hosts, Steve McLean, Jordan Peckham, and John Strobridge.
Welcome to the OHL Fanboys Meets the Herdcast at the 101st Memorial Cup presented by Kia here in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I am Steve McLean. The boys from the Herdcast will be joining me a little bit later, but right now I'm standing with the play-by-play voice of the Rue Noranda Huskies, Mr. Jean-Paul Charlebois. Jean-Paul, thank you so much for A, getting me that info on how to pronounce your name properly, but B, thanks for joining the podcast.
I'm very glad to do that.
Heck of a season this year for the Huskies, of course, 59 wins. I can't remember a team that's done that in a long time. And, of course, the President's Cup Championship, the 3rd in just 3 years, 4 seasons for the Huskies. Must have been a heck of a ride, especially that 25-game winning streak this year.
It was, Steve. It was really fantastic. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I didn't think that we would have that kind of team. I knew we had a good team, maybe the top 5 in the league. But as the season went on, I started to realize that the chemistry of the team was quite similar to the one that won the Cup in 2016. And then we kept on winning. We had 1 sequence of 2 defeats in a row in the whole season. So we started to believe that we couldn't lose a game. And I can say now possibly the best team in the history of the Huskies.
Definitely. I would say no doubt about that. And certainly a championship always cements one of those. But of course, the Huskies, as I mentioned, were here just a few years ago. You weren't here at the Memorial Cup in 2016, but I want to go back even a little bit farther with that. You've been with the Huskies for a long time.
I was in Red Deer, but I was there as a fan. We weren't there doing the broadcasting, but I started to follow the team maybe 16 or 17 years ago. At the beginning, the team was owned by people from out of town, from Montreal, and I didn't believe much in their will to keep the team in Rouen for a long time, because as soon as the financial problems can crop up, I wasn't too confident about that. But since the majority owner, Mr. Blais, today has been the majority owner since 1988. He's a good friend of mine. I started to follow the team. And then I retired in 2003, and I had as a project to work on the history of hockey in Rouen Noranda. I started writing on that, and then I realized that it was pretty big. And I said, maybe I should follow the Huskies a little bit more. And he wanted someone to help him work on a project of renovating and upgrading the number of seats in the old Dave Keon Arena. And I had a background, as I have a master's degree in recreation and park management, and work a lot in a sporting area in Quebec. So he wanted me to be a consultant on the project of renovating the arena. So I went was getting closer and closer to the team. I had a lot of information. And in 2005, we were playing Moncton Wildcats in the quarterfinals. And the guy that was doing the play-by-play, his employer didn't want to release him for the week games. And I was doing a TV show, a weekly TV show. He asked me if I could replace him. And that's how it started for me to be the play-by-play radio announcer for the Huskies. So it's quite a hazard.
Yeah, it sounds like our friend Patrick McNeil, who just kind of fell into the gig accidentally. It wasn't what you were going for. Had there ever been kind of a, in your past, you know, we always hear about children talk about wanting to be hockey players, but then sometimes you hear about broadcasters say, I've always wanted to be a broadcaster ever since I was a little kid. Was that a path that you had ever thought of before?
No, not really. We're doing playing games for fun in the basement or something, or in the streets, and I was doing some kind of play-by-play calling there sometimes, but I never thought about that, no.
So this Huskies team, of course, as we mentioned, a fantastic year. The 25-game winning streak, which tied a CHL record. I wanted to ask about that night, though, that it came to an end. Of course, you guys had to go up against the next best team in the queue at the time. It was the Drummondville Voltigeur. It was in Drummondville. From what I did not see this game because, of course, they're a little bit hard to get back in Ontario. But from what I heard, that was a pretty a raucous crowd and a tough game for the Huskies.
Yes, it was. But we have to take into account that that night we were missing a couple of good players, and I thought that Drummondville, their winning goal was a lucky goal. In fact, it was a shot from the corner, the left corner, and they bounced in front of the goal onto three guys. But we played a good game, but the crowd was really behind Drummondville that night. They really wanted to prove that they were going to battle with us for the rest of the season. So, you know, after winning 25 games, you kind of expect that you're going to lose one.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, eventually, but we're very proud of that. We equalized the record that was established in 1973-74 by Sorel. With players like Pierre Larouche and Michel Desjardins, Cassette. Larouche is the most known of them.
Heck of a list of players. I mean, you know, players that were playing long before the current Huskies were ever even thought of.
Of course, yes, of course. But it was quite a run.
We want to talk about the playoffs. You talk about a team wanting to prove themselves against the Huskies, and I guess one of those teams would be the Shawinigan Cataract. I mean, there's a team that only won a handful of games all season long. Honestly, in most years, they wouldn't be a playoff team. They sneak in as the last spot by just a single point, and they're going up against this powerhouse Huskies team. I'm sure a lot of people thought this would be an easy four games for the Huskies. Not quite the case, was it?
Well, I think now we can, if you talk to the players and you talk to Mario Pouliot, he's going to admit that they didn't take them very seriously. They were sure it was going to be a four game sweep, but Shawinigan came out strong and they really forced us to be ourselves. It was 2-2 after four games, and then we had to regroup and then decide to play hockey.
I guess it was a bit of a wake-up call for the Huskies and perhaps something they needed after the dominant regular season they had, because once they kind of got things going against the Cataract, of course, they swept their way right to the President's Cup final.
Yeah, they swept Victoriaville in the second round and Rimouski in the third round, and Rimouski had a pretty good team. And against the Mooseheads, we also had another wake-up call in the fourth game. We were leading the series 2-1. And here in Halifax, they really showed us that they wanted to win the cup too. So we came back in the fifth and sixth game and won it.
The championship, of course, the second for the Huskies organization, must have been a great moment for all involved. But at the same time, it was kind of a quick turnaround. Of course, you know, you guys won the championship here in Halifax and then had to go back home and kind of bask in the glory for a little bit, but then come right back out here.
Yeah, of course. We won it last Saturday, if I remember correctly. Yeah, we went back to Rwanda. Whatever happened that night, we were sure to go back to Rwanda. We wanted to go back to Rwanda. Either if the series had been ended for Halifax in six games, we would have gotten back that night. We flew back to Rwanda Saturday night, and then we took the plane again. We We flew to Halifax back the next Wednesday.
So I'd imagine that was a lot nicer flight with the championship, with the President's Cup on it, than it was without.
It was quite a flight. I mean, I've never had a flight like that in my whole life. I can tell you that. There was a lot of action on the plane.
Well, the Memorial Cup started for the Huskies 1 week later. Of course, they lost on Saturday to the Guelph Storm 5-2. Came back with a big win over the Prince Albert Raiders and a 6-3 score. But, of course, as we all know, that game was a lot closer than the score would indicate. But at the same time, I'd imagine, was it another one of those after the high of the championship, maybe another wake-up call needed after the loss in Game 1?
Well, that's how I introduced the game yesterday on the broadcast. I said, during the season, we had one sequence that we had two consecutive defeats, and we always came back after a defeat. We did it against Shawinigan twice. We did it twice against Halifax, and I had the impression that we were going to bounce back again last night, which we did. And like you said, it was a close game. It could have gone either way, but we showed the character that we have on the team. Especially in the last second half of the third period.
Big game coming up for the Huskies as they round out the tournament against Halifax, and depending on how the games go here, of course, a win could put the Huskies right into the final and right back where they were in 2016, because I know it's a very short turnaround for the Huskies, all things considered, from their last final. I mean, I know there's a couple of players on the roster now who are there. I mean, Samuel Harvey wasn't in net that night, but he was with the team. A lot of unfinished business for these players, I'd imagine, you know, wanting to get back there and redeem themselves from a few years ago.
Yes, it's for Peter Abandonato, who was in his first year as a Husky, and Jacob Neveu was in his second year, if I recall. We're missing Jacob Neveu a lot in the series here. He's out for the rest of the season. He blocked a shot in the second game in Rouyn-Noranda in the first overtime period, and he's got a fractured bone, and he had a shirt. Surgery for his teeth, and he's not going to be back in the series. He won the defensive player of the year in the Q, the Kevin Lowe Trophy, and he had quite a season this year. He's a warrior. He's a guy who blocks a lot of shots. We're missing him a lot, but Abandonato and Harvey really want to win that cup again.
Well, absolutely, I'd imagine so. And they're going to have to go through the Halifax Mooseheads to do it. They've done it once before, but this is a much different animal than a President's Cup seven-game series is. Of course, just a one-game thing, anything can happen. And we've seen how good Halifax has been so far in this tournament. The crowd is very raucous and behind them. What do the Huskies need to get done to beat this team that they know they can beat? But Halifax also has that in their mind, that they know they can beat the Huskies as well.
No, I think they're going to concentrate on what they can do best, and they're going to concentrate on their way of playing the game. If you talk to the players and you talk to Mario, they're going to tell you, we're going to put the emphasis on the process. And we feel that doing so, we should come out with a good result.
So, you know, as we wrap things up here, how have you enjoyed Halifax so far? Have you gotten to see some of the sights, or have you been a bit busy with the Huskies so far?
Well, the city is beautiful, but the weather hasn't been, so we didn't have the opportunity to visit as much as we want to. But the city is beautiful, and the organization so far, I have to say, so-so in some aspects of the organization, but it's a big organization.
Jean-Paul, thank you so much for taking some time out, and best of luck to you and the Huskies for the rest of the way.
Well, thanks very much, Steve, and you know, the hardest part for us is to cheer for Prince Albert tonight, because if Prince Albert wins and we beat Halifax tomorrow, we're going straight to the finals. So I guess we're going to cheer for Prince Albert.
There you go. So even the games that you're not playing in really matter. That's Jean-Paul Charlebois from the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies play-by-play voice. When we come back, we wrap up the game between the Huskies and the Mooseheads here on the OHL Fanboys Meets the Herdcast of the 101st Memorial Cup presented by Kia.
I've got to tell you, I cannot believe what I just saw, Owen. Please tell me why. Why this despicable act?
Why, what?
I don't understand.
You want to know why? Bret Hart, you're nothing but a selfish person. I went in there in a tag team match for the biggest match of my life. It was a dream come true. I thought I had the best partner in the world. my own brother, but you're too selfish, like I've said all along. Your ego is too big. You only worry about yourself, Brett.
Bro,
you don't care about me.
Unbelievable, in front of your entire family.
I don't care about anybody. I was concerned about myself and my whole family. The biggest opportunity in my life. I had a chance, Brett, and you stripped it away from me. You took it away from me, Brett, because you're too selfish. All you had to do was just tag me. My hand was there. Just tag me. I knew your leg was bad. I was aware of that. Just tag me. But you're too selfish. You just want to put your sharpshooter on. I could have won the match. I don't need you with a bad leg doing it. Brett, you're too damn selfish. And that's why you're sitting there with a bad leg. And that's why I kicked your leg out of your leg.
Welcome back to the OHL Fanboys Meets the Herdcast from 101st Memorial Cup, presented by Kia in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Canada. What is the OHL Fanboys?
Wait. Hold on. Beaver Bank.
Bingo.
Well, sir. The Rouyn-Noranda Huskies beat the Halifax Mooseheads 4-3, but...
Let's go.
The Mooseheads, thanks to that weird goal differential stats thing, they get the bye to the final. And the Mooseheads are going to the final. The Huskies in the Storm will face off in a semifinal on Friday.
Well, you know, Steve, we did what we had to do, and we came for what we had to do, we made it happen.
You know what?
Listen, there was more games in this tournament, but past time
is past time.
And we did what we had to do. We came, we saw, we fucking tore it up. See you Sunday.
I mean, we'll get to how the game ended and everything, but that was a pretty crazy game tonight.
Can we just hold on here for a second?
Yeah.
We want to let everybody know we got a special guest tonight.
Beep, yes. Boop, beep, bop, beep, boop. Beep, beep, boop,
boop. We're super lucky. Sorry, I'm trying to eat pepperoni and do this at the same time.
You're tired.
The hockey computer, Marcus Bordaj, is here with us tonight.
What's up, guys?
In the flesh. Can help us break this down. So, welcome,
Marcus. Do I got to tell a story about why I wasn't here for the weekend?
Do it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So, I was a guest on the Herdcast earlier in the season. And I said I was on vacation for the first weekend of the Memorial Cup. In reality, my vacation was getting married in Las Vegas, Nevada, on the long, long weekend. So I went to an electronic music festival.
What the fuck?
In Las Vegas.
Of course you did.
And got married. And that was the same night the Mooseheads beat PA 4-1. So Mooseheads win, I get married, have the night of my life.
The Mooseheads win,
It was the best night of my life. I'm married now, and I'm here in the Memorial Cup now in Halifax.
Marcus doing got this to see podcast. A bare naked lady, everybody.
It's actually
the first time you've seen the naked woman.
It's a bare naked dude, which made it way weirder.
Oh.
Yeah.
What the fuck? He did math between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, but it was a 15-minute period where you got to see a naked woman. It was a big deal. A very, very, very big deal.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Yes.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
You're back. You came back, and the Mooseheads, they didn't win tonight, but this has to be the most surreal thing I've seen at a hockey game. In a playoff, it's a tournament, but it's a playoff game, really. The Mooseheads, tonight's game, you know, they go down 2-0. They have an amazing second period. They outscore the Huskies 3-0 in the second. Not just the three goals, but all the weird calls, missed calls, the crowd just going absolute apeshit. And then that third period where the Halifax knew, hey, unless the Huskies score three goals, we're good. And they went into total defense mode. Yeah. The Huskies get a couple of goals, but it was too little too late for the Huskies or for the Guelph Storm, who were kind of sitting watching the game. I've never seen a game where a team gives up a goal in the final minute, lose the game, and yet that team and its entire fan base was just celebrating to the nines.
Well, one of my favorite things to say is, within a single game, it doesn't matter when you score the goals as long as you score more than the other team. In the Memorial Cup, it doesn't matter when you win the games, as long as you win more and have a better goal differential than the other teams.
Yes.
It just came down right to the end there. Well, but, I mean, ideally, what is the goal at the end, at the beginning of this game? Is to make the Memorial Cup final. How do we do that? Well, we win, or we lose by one, less than 5-4.
Yeah.
In the last game, after winning the first two.
And especially as the game went on, you know, when the Mooseheads were up 3-2 after two, it's like, okay, you can essentially eliminate the Huskies from getting that opportunity. Because at that point, they had to win the game 8-3. And you know they're not coming up and scoring six goals in the third.
No question.
So now you know the only competition is Guelph as far as that bye goes. And it's and you're in a good spot. You're up 3-2, you figure. And for the first, I'd say about 5 to 6 minutes of that third period, the Huskies really didn't have much of a push. They eventually did, and they came at you. They finally tied the game. I think it was about 8 minutes ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And then they got the game winner with about, I think it was about 55 seconds left. Yeah, in the third period.
What were the shots that third period?
Third period shots on goal, 18-2 for the Huskies.
That tells you everything about the turtle show mode.
Yeah.
Halifax knew what they had to do. They did the bare minimum to what they had to do, and they did it to a T.
But even still, if you're playing total defensive mode, still letting up 18 shots is bad.
It's a lot.
Letting up 18 shots is bad, but like how many of those were really high danger chances?
I mean, there were ones that weren't even shots. I think the Huskies hit the post twice. There, especially the post right after tying the game. I think it was about the next maybe two shifts later. The Huskies won a faceoff, and then I can't remember which player it was. Managed to win the faceoff, get the puck into the slot, and backhand it over the glove of Gravel and hit the crossbar.
So we hit the post once in that game as well in the first period.
Yes.
And I would like to ask everybody at this table, so I got three other guys here. What about the Huskies' second goal? What everybody got to say about that?
It was offside. I think we all
know. So you're a neutral party.
Yeah. Well, no, not even totally neutral because I needed the Huskies to win.
I was sitting there
watching it, looking at the replays. I was up in press row tonight.
Yeah.
And we had a big TV up there, and we're watching it up close. And it was one of those situations. It's like when you've seen those overhead shots of a goal. You know that puck is in the net, but you can't see it because like the gloves or whatever are covering it. And it's like we all know it's in, but it's not going to get called a goal. Yeah. Same thing happened here. We all know that second Huskies goal was offside, but they just didn't have the angle, and it was called a goal to begin with, so they couldn't overturn it.
So some go for us, some go against us, right? Yeah.
And it's like I said all year, there's nothing you can do about that.
Absolutely
nothing you can do about it. You can be pissed off over it,
but you can
and
feel
then
good
let it
about it.
Well,
you know, feel good. Take it.
You don't feel good losing a game though.
I do tonight.
Tonight is the exception.
Tonight's an exception, all right.
I will say this. So you guys are holding that 3-2 lead. You did a pretty good job of it for a while. The Huskies didn't, you know, they needed three goals that period. And they didn't even really need three goals. Because at that point, they can't get the bye. Their only motivation is
they
just...
They weren't going to win 8-3.
Yeah, their only motivation is to... Obviously, as an athlete, you want to win a game, no matter what. But at the same time, they have that extra motivation to go, and you know what, we can screw these guys over. They're booing us, everything. It wasn't just booing Dobson. I remember, you know, when they hit the ice at the start of the game, they were getting booed pretty bad.
Oh, of course.
They must want to, like, just stick at that fan base and the team that they're facing. Absolutely. So they want to do it. Halifax did a good job. The Huskies weren't able to get even that first goal until about 8 minutes left. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, knowing the situation, you guys knew what the deal was. If you lose 4-3, you're fine. When they tie that game, how do you feel? Are you still feeling pretty good? And when they took that 4-3 lead in the final minute, did you kind of get more nervous again, thinking, oh man, they might actually blow this?
You definitely get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering all of the games that Halifax has played against Rouen during the regular season, during the playoffs. Halifax has beat them twice now in 9 games. That's not a good record against any team. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Rouen Noranda has had Halifax's number all season, so you have to get nervous, you know, every time it's a tie game, really. That's the second period, I think, showed that Halifax can skate with them. They played to get to the finals in the third period, and that hurts them. Halifax needs to kind of be go, go, go. Their transition game is one of the strongest parts of their game. Tonight, the cycle game looked probably best for Halifax, and Rouen was much stronger defending transition and attacking in transition. But, I mean, Halifax may end up playing Rouen again in the finals, so they have to figure it out. They have to figure it out.
Because I won't say that Halifax had a bad first period, but I think it was clear the Huskies were probably the better team in the first. And then obviously Halifax was much
Halifax played pretty good in the first period, actually. Huskies were good, but
they capitalized on their chances.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what?
Both goals being long reviews, by the way.
True.
And I don't think that first one was a long review, but I think the right call was made on the first goal. It wasn't offside.
You got Marcus here, who is absolutely breaks the game down into math, and you know.
Which is perfect because coming into this game, it was all about math, right?
He breaks it down into complete, you know, statistics.
Yeah.
Better than anybody I've ever met. There's no question.
Yeah.
We were all trying to figure this out. Marcus is like, well, this. Very smart when it comes to it. But at the end of the day, this game was played on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And tonight, going into the third period, it was an absolute anything could happen.
Yeah. Because at the same time...
This was the second best case scenario.
Yeah. While the Huskies... You know, you guys have seen them play
a lot.
You know how good they are. Going into that third period, you guys are up 3-2. How confident are you guys, even before they tie the game, are you confident that they're not going to score three goals?
I was pretty confident that we had... No, that they were going to score three, yes. But I was pretty confident we had to score again and we weren't going to win the game. I know how good Rouen Aranda is. Mm-hmm. And they are fucking good.
Because you guys have just lined up five guys on the blue line.
Yeah, like, we were full turtle shell mode.
Turn into the 2000 Jersey Devils, right?
Yes.
Yes,
there's no question. So the boys just wanted to get to the finals. I mean, that's 100% true.
Why would you go back all that way to 2000? And New Jersey Devils,
because they were the masters of the trap.
Niedermeyer,
yeah, it wouldn't even be a question.
Elbows up,
you're lucky if you score three goals in an entire game back then. That's
absolutely
a 3-2 playoff game back in those days was like high scoring, you know.
Absolutely.
So the Huskies tie the game. They get the game winner with just under a minute to go. Again, they get that game winner. Are you guys, you know? Me, as a Storm fan, I was like, you know what, I think it's too little too late here.
Yeah.
But you can see in that final minute, they still attacked hard. They didn't have enough time to do anything. The puck was in the dying seconds, was kind of bouncing around just to the side of the slot there. When they got that 4-3 goal, knowing that the game doesn't matter at that point, right? Like, you know, losing, it's not a big deal if you lose by one.
One more goal by Rouen Aranda, though, Meg Guelph, right?
Yeah. So when they got that 4-3 goal, did you guys kind of tighten up a little bit and go, oh, shit, they might actually do this?
It meant more to Rouen than it did to Halifax.
Yeah, so the thing about that was, obviously, you don't feel 100% comfortable until the buzzer goes, right?
Never. Mm-hmm.
But based on how Halifax played in the third period, I thought, okay, they're probably not going to give up a goal in the next 58 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? But to say I was 100% comfortable would be a lie.
You tightened up a little bit.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
You have to be comfortable with Ravel in nets, though. I think that was the X factor there in that last minute, where he's let in now four goals on, I think, 36 shots at that point. That's under a 900 save percentage for Gravel.
Yeah.
That's not Gravel. He had a 915, I think, in the save in the playoffs or higher. I think you trust him to get the job done in those last minutes. And Halifax isn't going to allow any high-danger chances. They're coming from the blue line. They're coming from outside.
Yeah.
Gravel's going to stop those.
Credit where credit's due. He was great tonight. But a lot of really nice snipes tonight from both teams. Like, there were some nice top-corner, top-shelf goals tonight. Like, if you're a neutral hockey fan, that was pretty fun to watch.
Man, during the second period, I'm sitting there, and I cracked a beer. I was just ripping the top off it, ripping the foam. I know, it's strange for me, because I'm not a beer guy, you know. Fully drank one all night. So I ripped the foam off it. I'm watching Bo Grew come in, and he shoots that shot, and it's like I look down back at my beer, and my girlfriend starts celebrating. It's like, didn't go in. What? Like, I don't know what it was. It, like, rocked my world, and I watched the replay. What a fucking shot.
Can we pause on Bo Grew, though?
Fuck.
Since he has come back, since he's come back from his bout of mono, he has been the driving force behind the Mooseheads. He's an offensive force. I don't think, like, I can't think of any time his line got hemmed in the defensive zone.
That second line is as good as many first lines.
Oh, exactly. The Mooseheads rolled two first lines because of Bo Grew.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, that Gru, Trepanier, Durando second line has been a fucking rock. It really has.
Trepanier, by the way, is the Moosehead's leading scorer through the round robin. He has 6 points. Most of those assists. He's got 1 goal and 5 assists through.
That puts him in second place, though, right?
Yeah, that puts him in second. Sean Durzi was the leading scorer in the round robin with 7 points. Trepanier has 6. And then we got a bit of a, you know, a bottleneck at 5 points with Suzuki, Toropchenko, Gregor, and I'm not sure how you say his name from the Huskies.
Lauko.
German. So, Lauko, yeah.
He also has 5 points.
Well, if we know one thing, is that Gregor won't be getting any more points.
We know that. Absolutely.
Hey, it's not a burn. That's a fact.
Well, and
that is
a
fact.
As far as like the leading scorer of the tournament goes, I mean, in the end, whoever it is that Halifax faces in the final will have one more game played, too. So that if it ends up being, you know, the only one really up there, excuse me, the only one really up there for the Huskies is Lauko. Thank you. He's got 5 points. The next best player in the Huskies is 3. So Lauko is really the only guy who can really threaten for the scoring title of the tournament for the Huskies. But you got a bunch of Storm guys there. Regardless, if one of those guys were to win the scoring tournament or the scoring title in this tournament, which, if you don't win the Memorial Cup, really, who cares? But, you know, they I guess the thing is, well, they'll have one more game played than probably Halifax's best bet, which would be Trepanier. Their next best guy is Antoine Morin. He has 4 points. So, you know, a big final from him, he could probably take the title as well. So,
yeah. Steve, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
It's something that...
Because Trepanier could score one goal in the final.
Yeah.
And that be the goal that wins the Memorial Cup. So really, he may not win the scoring title, but he may win us the Memorial Cup.
But Johnny, if he doesn't score any goals and the Mooseheads still win, it doesn't matter.
I hope Nick Suzuki puts up 900 points in the next 2 games and doesn't win the Memorial Cup. So, I don't give a fuck, really.
You know what? It's a good question, though. I'm going to ask you guys and try and be as neutral as you can. I know it's hard because it's neutral. Well, it's hard for me.
We would rather... Listen,
neutral. What do you got?
Who
neutral?
Do you think has so far been the best player in this tournament? If you had to give out the MVP right now through the round robin.
Right now?
Yeah.
Noah Gregor of the Prince Albert Raiders. Really? I thought he was the best player to watch on the ice.
Yeah.
Nick Suzuki has been the best
player. It's 100% Nick Suzuki.
I just don't think he's been that great. He hasn't impressed me in 2 games.
Noah, one game he has. Noah Gregor was the best player out of a bunch of players that didn't get going.
Right, yeah, like not out of his bunch of players. You're talking about one player into the whole.
Well,
tournament.
I know, but he looked Noah good. Gregor. But
he's got to be Gregor.
So you think Noah Gregor has been better in his 3 games than Nick Suzuki in his 3 games?
Noah Gregor has played around. He's played with a bunch of guys who haven't played at all.
If Noah Gregor was better, if Noah Gregor was better than Nick Suzuki, Prince Albert wouldn't be eliminated.
Nope, Noah Gregor.
They wouldn't be listening to us from the Pacific Times.
I'm going to go Noah Gregor. They're going to go Nick Suzuki.
And then the next question I have for you. We know who you're not going to probably say, but who's been the best goaltender in this tournament? I'd imagine it's probably going to, you know, Gravel, Harvey, or Popovich. Who's been the best guy?
I'm going to go, I would throw off the sheet here. I'll go Popovich. After watching him play the other night, he had some real good saves. No, he did. Popovich came up big when he needed to be. He was the worst coming in, but he had the saves when he needed to
have.
He
gave up the first goal he gave up in the tournament was awful. But since then, he's been pretty good.
He's been solid.
All right, Marcus, my buddy, let's say this the same thing. Yeah. Time. 1, 2, 3.
Homer,
nobody.
Nobody.
Great. Nobody.
Right. None of the goalies in this tournament have stood on their head and given their team the absolute best chance to win. True. It's been the skaters getting the job done.
Ian Scott did not play well.
Yeah, and you know what? As a fan of a team that wasn't the Prince Albert Raiders, I was afraid of Ian Scott coming into this. He is a goalie that can steal
change games. Yeah, absolutely.
And in a tournament like this, we saw it 2 years ago with Michael DiPietro. He really, without him, Windsor Spitfires.
You mean the guy that got injured and that's the reason Guelph won?
Yeah.
Okay.
Without him, I think.
Yeah.
Without him, 2 years ago, the Spitfires aren't winning that Memorial Cup as good as they were in that Memorial Cup. Ian Scott could have been that guy this year for Prince Albert. They could have maybe not been at their best, but still won this thing because of Ian Scott. He was not at his best, unfortunately. He's gone now. I think that's a good point you bring up, though, is that while there has been some amazing saves in this tournament and there's been some moments where goaltenders have looked great, at the end of the day, it is the skaters getting it done. There's not been any type of goalie duel. What's the lowest scoring game we've had in the tournament? The opener that was 4-1, I think.
Yeah, no goalie.
Excuse me.
Alex Gravel made the saves he needed to make. But he let in some shitty goals.
Excuse me.
No question.
Gravel has been good too.
Can we just say this for a second? Alex Gravel beat the WHL champion and the OHL champion.
Don't matter. We're talking about literally the saves he made. He could have made saves tonight that would have changed the game.
What were the scores?
There was at least one that he could have saved. At least I can think of the one from beyond the circle he should have saved.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. Gravel has to make that save. He didn't. No goalie has stood.
So if you're going to, fine, we'll go with none. But for you to say Popovich off the top,
Popovich has been the only goalie I've seen make saves that should have been goals.
No, it's still no goalies.
I'll agree with that completely. But if I had to pick one, I would go Popovich.
He's still like
he's
like
the goalie I expect to be shitty.
As someone who's seen Popovich game in, game out all season long, he has been at his best in this tournament. We all know he came into this tournament probably as the goalie least likely to succeed. Probably the least likely OHL championship goalie in a long time.
Below 900 save percentage, over three goals.
Less than a 900 save percentage, Like I think he has, maybe he might have 900 now.
It was the game when they played, was it Rouen?
Rouen, he was...
Excuse me. I'm going to cut this for a second. 5 minutes before we started recording this, Jordan said, I'm not going to say anything in this podcast. I'm not going to say anything at all.
Lost his voice.
So, we'll move on from who's been best because that's just the round robin and it doesn't really matter anymore.
That's true.
And truthfully, the best goalie doesn't always win this tournament.
No, we saw, think back to the last time you guys were at this tournament in Saskatoon. The best goalie, at least the goalie who was named goalie of the tournament, was from the Saskatoon Blades who finished last.
That's fair.
And was also the correct choice.
Yeah.
It was absolutely the correct choice.
Who was the guy?
He Stolarz? Makarov. No, Stolarz was London's goalie.
That was London's goalie.
Makarov?
That sounds right.
It sounds something along those lines. And without him, like Saskatoon, first of all, just wasn't a good team. At least they were an okay team, but as far as Memorial Cup caliber...
Well, they beat the Mooseheads.
That was the one team to beat Halifax. But he was just, like, he was fantastic that tournament. It's just, like you said, the best goalie doesn't always win.
Sometimes they do. I don't want to move too far on here.
It's just been brought to my attention.
So all the goaltenders have played three games.
Obviously.
Alex Gravel has 13 more saves than anybody. And he has the lowest goals against average. He has 92 saves to Popovich's 79. He has a 2.33 goals against average. Popovich's is 2.67. Samuel Harvey has 78 saves, 3.67. And William Scott just...
So we talked earlier about how many low percentage shots that Rouen had tonight, though. Rouen peppered 18 shots in the third period alone that were all low percentage.
They were not all low percentage.
No, for the last minute they were low percentage. I would say 14 of those 18
I would say the first half of that third period, the Huskies really weren't doing a whole lot, even though they were controlling the puck, but Halifax was doing a good job keeping them out of the
zone. They were full turtle shell.
Once they tied that game, though, It turned, and the Huskies probably should have taken the lead a lot earlier than they did. But in the end, Gravel was good, and that's the point. I want to move on though from that. We've talked about how who's the best players in the tournament. At the end of the day, what matters most right now is Halifax is going to the final. You guys are pumped about that,
of course.
But before we get to that final, we have a semifinal on Friday between Guelph and Rouyn-Noranda. Guelph won the round robin game between those two. I would say. Decently, convincingly, they won 5-2.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What do you guys think about it? I know I could probably give my thoughts on it, but I'm also nervous as hell as a Storm fan. As guys who probably want to see the Huskies lose, but at the same time, it'd probably be sweeter for you guys to beat the Huskies on Sunday than it would be Guelph.
I don't see you guys beating the Huskies.
I'll call it now.
Yeah. Huskies are going to come out and beat you by 3 or 4 goals.
Wow.
I'd say they came out super strong.
Thanks, Jordan.
I will call it. I'm sorry. I love you. Don't really care.
I'll say this, though, before I see Johnny's about to make a point here, but the last thing I'll say, Guelph is 7-0 in elimination games this year.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
That's great. But that means they've been close to being eliminated 7 times.
True. Absolutely.
Thank you.
The moral of the story is this. To be the man, what do you got to do? Woo! You got to beat the man.
Wow, sir.
Woo! And the man.
And I'll kiss your boots if you can do it.
Listen, in all honesty, there's two schools of thoughts on this. Obviously, you'd want to get the revenge on the Huskies and win it.
But I think Guelph's the easier route.
I think Guelph would be the easier route. Now, with that being said, me personally, I could be okay losing to Guelph. I could not be okay losing to the Huskies again.
I will agree with that 100%.
Because I got to bring this up right now. At least if Guelph wins, then I can be happy for my friend. True. I can be happy for
no,
my
you
friend.
Can't.
No, I can't.
I'm going to tap out here for a second.
So, my friend was happy, and I almost cried for him. So
I did not.
So, last night, this is a perfect way to segue. And this thing, I didn't know if I was going to bring this up at the time or not. But last night, Steve got a little tipsy.
Here Steve wasn't drunk, was he?
With me and Jordan. Excuse me. So I got a little. So me and Jordan, we know we were having a good time, but we never got near the point that Steve was at. And you know, we were recording. We were sitting down talking. I'm. Yeah, that's Steve's mixer getting ready to go into the cup. He got up off the couch and fell on the other couch. And I said, wow, I just jumped up really quick. And then the next time I turned around, he was crawling on my living room floor. Right after we finished recording, we got the show up, and he said, guys, I'm drunk.
Guys,
and I said, don't have to give the entire playback.
No, but I do.
I'm
drunk. And I said, Steve, what do you mean you're drunk? And he said, in this moment, right now, in the atmosphere, in the world.
He did. He said that exactly.
I am drunk.
In this atmosphere, in this world.
And I said, I am drunk. And then we said, well, you know.
He's going to cut this out. He has full control.
No, he's not going to cut it out. And I said, you know, no, he won't. He's gonna cut this out. What about if the Mooseheads win as the host? And he said, you know, let's go, Brian. You know, when Brian saw the Spits win in 2017, was it?
Yeah.
2017, he was so happy, and I was happy for my friend.
The Spits win in 9 and 10.
Yes, they did.
They went back-to-back in 9 and 10.
Yes, they did.
I seen that earlier. I was reading the book. Sorry to interfere with
you. They are the most recent back-to-back champs.
So the moral of the story is this. If we if we lose to the Huskies, it'll be a rough Sunday night episode. But if we at least lose to the Storm, Steve will be happy, and I can be happy for Steve. If I'm really drunk. And Jordan, yeah, wow. Anyways, Jordan. Steve, what's the next question you want
to
ask?
Jordan
just shit himself.
Let the human computer chime in here for
I'm gonna have to cut a couple of those things out, but restart what you were about to say.
Sorry, let the human computer chime in here for a second and come back to the semifinal between Rouen and Guelph. Because as a Mooseheads fan, I would much rather see Halifax play Guelph, a team that we've seen them beat and who I'm much more confident that they can beat. Rouen has a much deeper roster than Guelph. They have a better goalie. I just don't see Popovich getting it done. If I was going to, like, single game betting, if I was betting on a goalie, I'm going to bet on Sam Harvey. I'm not betting on Poppy.
No, you're right. And the confidence is not there against Rouen Miranda.
No.
The confidence is there against Guelph.
So,
because Guelph sucks.
But you know what? Ultimately, ultimately, we got, and let's not get too overjoyed here, because we got into the final in the worst way possible.
You went 2-1 right. In the round robin, as good as the team who's going to play you in the final.
You had a plus, Halifax had a plus +4 goal differential and went 2-1.
We're gonna have a better record than the team we're playing.
I'm not complaining. I don't think that's the worst way possible. I just don't.
You had three teams go
2-1. It's a weird. Yeah. It's the second straight year that's happened, and I think last year was the first time in a long time that that's happened. But
I would disagree completely with what you're saying.
That it was the first time that it happened.
What Johnny's saying is the worst way possible.
Yeah.
If it had to happen in reverse order, it would be the best way possible. Yeah. So.
We had another call on the listener line, and his name was John, because it's your guys' listener line. We don't have one on the Fanboys podcast.
I don't know the guy's name. I think it's HFX Oil.
Okay. He was the one who was spying on us at the pub the other day, apparently, but... who knew we were drinking water instead of alcohol? But anyway, we have a call on the listener line, and Johnny wanted to get that cut in. So let's cut to that right now.
Hey, boys. Just wanted to say you have done a fantastic job all year with the podcast. Keep it going. Wonderful job. Also wanted to say, Johnny, there is no bad way to get into the final. We finished first, man, and it's going to be very difficult for any team we play to beat us. Go Moose, go. This is fantastic, boys. Good job. Keep up the great work.
So I guess I was wrong. I guess there's no bad way to get into the final. I mean, ultimately, yes, the college right. You're into the final. At this point, that's all that matters. We have... Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We have 3 solid days off now. I mean, still, though, I mean, you know, obviously being a huge Moosehead fan, there's a part of you that wishes we had beat Rouen tonight just for some sort of vindication.
Absolutely.
We can't really say, you know, like, you know, Jordan, you said they went into turtle mode, blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, that's the decision that they decided to make. But who's to say if they played a regular game, what would have happened? I hate to play that game.
Here's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
You guys may have lost against the Huskies again tonight, but what matters is Sunday. Whether you're playing Guelph or whether you're playing Rouyn-Noranda.
Well, I think my question about it is if the first game of the tournament against Prince Albert, if we lost 4-3 and then we beat Guelph and then we beat Rouyn-Noranda, you're like, this is the best way to get in. We're pumped. We're, you know,
yeah, you're excited. On a roll.
The only way I can think about it is the exact same. I'm just excited. Don't get me wrong, of all teams to lose in the round robin, to lose against Rouyn-Noranda sucks. And that's why I hope Guelph wins, so we don't have to play them. I really don't want to have to play Rouyn-Noranda. I have a lot of faith in Samuel Harvey. I know he's a good goalie. I know how good Rouyn-Noranda can be.
Faith in Samuel Harvey.
Yeah, he's phenomenal, man. Other than that second period, he's been good.
Because he's a
is Gravel. I have full faith in Gravel. But I think I would much rather play Guelph in the final than Rouyn-Noranda.
And I mean, as a Storm fan, I can't complain too much because at the same time, it's like we could have beaten Halifax on Sunday. We wouldn't have to worry about it because we would have been 3-0, right? So,
but you didn't.
No, that's my point. We didn't. They didn't get the job done.
You won't probably actually beat Halifax again.
I'm not even thinking about Halifax right now because I'm thinking about the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies.
You're thinking about losing 5-2 to Rouyn-Noranda on Friday night? Yeah.
Well, Guelph had a good game against the Huskies. I'm confident that they can, but at the same time, I know we talked about it after Saturday's game. We knew that wasn't the best Huskies team we've seen. And I don't think we saw the best Huskies team tonight either.
No, you didn't. No.
You saw the best Huskies team of the tournament.
Yes. Not the best Huskies team of the queue, though.
No.
I agree with Johnny and Marcus. I think you're both thinking Huskies are better than that again. They are good. They are very good.
I mean, just look at their lineup. I mean, their top defense pair of Dobson, as much as everybody boos him, he's a fantastic defenseman. Bergeron, somehow, I think people forget about him.
Underrated.
Their top lines, I think they have 3, like, they go line for line with anybody in the tournament. Anybody in this tournament. And they have the depth to beat them. Plus, then you have a 20-year-old overage goaltender in Sam Harvey who can win a game. Any game you play, he can win that.
He had a rough second period. Sure. I think those first 2 goals he probably could have had. That Bo Grew shot, he's going to have that.
I think we've broken down tonight's game enough. Like, we've talked about it to death. We can go on and on about how tonight went. And
So what really matters is Steve wants to talk about how bad that we think Rouen is going to beat Guelph on Friday.
Everybody, predictions, this side of the table starting.
5-2 Huskies.
It's 4-2 Huskies.
It's got to be fucking at least 5-2 Huskies. I'd agree.
I do not give predictions for strong games.
You don't have predictions?
You, sir, are a coward.
You are a coward.
Call me a coward all you want. I don't do it. I've never done it, and I won't do it now.
Steve told me earlier his prediction was 7-2 Huskies.
No. Negative. That's fake news.
Fake news.
So tomorrow
listen, we actually... And you know, the three of us only said that really to fool with you. I mean, really, it is literally a...
It's going to be an amazing...
It's a coin flip.
My honest opinion is I can see it going both ways. Guelph has had games this year where it's like you don't know which team is showing up. And we're going to
see the best Guelph Friday night. There's no question. We are going to see the best Guelph.
If we see the best Guelph Friday night, then I think they can beat the Huskies. Yeah.
Realistically, picking on Steve aside, let's put Steve right out of this conversation. You know what? Guelph being down 0-3, 3-1, 0-2, they haven't lost. There's no question that you are going to see the best Guelph team. But at the same time, you're going to see the best Rouen team. You know what? There hasn't been a game that hasn't involved Helmax this whole tournament that has had my complete interest. I can't fucking wait for Friday night. That's going
to
be good.
To say that, though, I mean, you're playing in the Memorial Cup tournament.
Yeah.
You should see your best team every night.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Right?
And we haven't seen that from...
But nothing puts you like you're back against the wall.
We have not seen that from any team but the Mooseheads.
Helmax has played their best.
You know, Guelph won't say that they had their best team, but I think they were pretty damn good against the Huskies and the Raiders. They were not.
What about against Halifax? Steve?
They were not good. We've covered that. They were not good against Halifax.
Tell us again.
But what if they had been good against Halifax?
Yeah, we'll but see. Listen, that's the same.
They probably tried to be good, but Halifax was going with that.
Saying what if is just like giving predictions, buddy. Yeah. Because a prediction, you never know if you're going to be right or wrong. What if, you never know if you're going to be right or wrong. You never know if it's going to be right or wrong.
So let the human computer chime in here for a second and say that this is a super short tournament, and it's super cliche to say, but anything can happen from game to game to game.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we're seeing like these crazy results. And like, look, I don't think Halifax was not the best team all season.
No.
But they're in the Memorial Cup Finals because they've had three really good games.
Yes.
The two teams playing the semifinals are in the semifinals because they've generally played well, but probably not up to their potential.
Something that bodes well for Halifax, I will say a little bit of stats here. You are the human, you know, you are the hockey computer, but I'm going to throw stats at you. The last time that a team had to win a semifinal and they eventually won the Memorial Cup, it's been not too long, but it's been a little bit. 2014. The Edmonton Oil Kings won a triple overtime game against Val-d'Or in the semifinal. They won the Memorial Cup.
I think it was the Guelph Storm that lost.
Yes, they did. That was the point the Guelph I was trying Storm to make. That lost. So it could come round for Guelph. Either they're gonna, it does bode well for Halifax. I did bring that up because it does involve Guelph in a roundabout way. But you know, we've had the last, I guess, four tournaments now that the team that got the finals by wins this thing. They get all these days off. They get to watch a game on Friday night and pick apart their opponent. So, you know what? If you had, you know, you guys have known you were going to host this all year. You know you'd be in the tournament. But I guess at the beginning of the year, if you said you'd make the final and you get one game for a Memorial Cup, anyone would take that any day.
Yeah.
You're happy, right?
Well, it's like I said earlier. You know, at very worst this season, at very worst, at the end of the Memorial Cup, we can say we were two games from the President's Cup and we were one game from the Memorial Cup. I mean, other than winning both trophies, what more can you ask for?
Well, and I know, Steve, you brought up the point of the overtime wins by the Oil Kings. I don't really see that being the style of the Mooseheads. They're not a double overtime team. They actually like to play in transition. They like these high event games. I don't think that they're going to want the final to go to overtime. That being said, it's going to be an exciting game no matter who they play.
Tomorrow we get a day off, finally. It's the first day where we haven't had a game. We might you know, we definitely we don't have an official show planned for tomorrow, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. We're gonna do we're gonna take a day to chill out, and so we're gonna have a barbecue.
So I'm kind of hoping that you will be able to comment. Maybe not. Obviously, there won't be as much hockey things to talk about, but there will be some of your. I want people to know about your experience here in Halifax, the things you've done, things we're going to do tomorrow. Hopefully, you know, as long as the weather stay good, you know, we're hoping.
Steve.
No, I will not listen. If any of you have seen this, seen the video of me scaring Steve, I actually at this point feel bad. I actually, at this point, feel bad over scaring you, Steve. But at the time, I felt great because it was super funny.
No, in all seriousness, I agree with John. I would love to hear your your take story on staying here in Halifax.
So maybe we'll have a short show tomorrow about my experience in Halifax. But if not, we will talk to you guys on Friday post game.
Not only that, there may be some things to talk about hockey wise going into that game, because there was one incident tonight where. Felix Bebo made a kicking motion towards the face. No, it didn't hit Samuel Aslan in the face, but
what did he try?
Making a kicking motion that can be reviewed, and that can be a match penalty. And if Felix Bebo does not play for the Huskies on Friday night, that could be a big.
And maybe if we're lucky, the weather is good, and we have low fire tomorrow night, and we talk about it.
Just a quick thing on that, like. Pretty crappy move on his part to do the kick in the first place. Now he got him in the shoulder. Aslan, to his credit, you know he did a little spin on it. He did a little soccer player thing. He, you know, sold it a little bit, holding his face. You guys saw it. He didn't actually get hit in the face.
No, not at all.
But regardless of that, it's still a bad move by Bebo, like to kick at all. The crowd was going nuts.
And that's a home crowd. That would be a huge loss for Ruan Naranda. Like he is 100% a top line forward for them. He can score goals. He can make the plays that they need to make in the semifinal.
Guelph has had a history of winning series and games this year when players go down unexpectedly.
Yeah, because Guelph keeps taking out opposition goalies.
You can only.
I can't blame Guelph on this one, though.
No, you're right.
You can only beat the opponent that is in front of you.
Yes. So, with that being said, we're going to wrap things up tonight. Thank you all for putting up with us and listening. The Halifax Mooseheads will play for the title on Sunday. We'll find out on Friday night if they'll be playing the Guelph Storm or the Ruan Naranda Huskies.
All right. Let's go, Mooseheads!
Well, sir.
You've
been listening to the OHL Fanboys Podcast.